Taiwan's leader hails the Iranian Navy's first round-the-world voyage, saying that a move has contributed to the country's security. Russia and Ukraine intensify attacks against each other as talks on the war, hosted by Saudi Arabia, conclude with no final declaration. In Japan, marking the 78th anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombing of Hiroshima, amid growing calls for the abolition of nuclear weapons. Tom Behrouz, it's nice to have you with us. Starting with comments by leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, hailing the round-the-globe mission of the 86th Naval Flotilla as a boost to national security. In a meeting with the flotilla's personnel and their families, Ayatollah Sayyid Khamenei said that the presence of the flotilla in remote waters helped prop up Iran's security. He added that the expedition showed that open seas belong to everyone, not just superpowers like the U.S. Iran's leader also stressed that Americans launch acts on oil tankers and help maritime smugglers both in the region and beyond. This, he says, is a breach of an international law of humanity, as maritime security should be ensured for all nations. The Iranian Navy's 86th flotilla completed its journey around the world on the 20th of May. Now, Kyiv has launched a new attack on Russian-controlled Donbas region after Moscow hit Ukrainian facilities in Zaporizhia and Kharkiv. Russian officials say the Ukraine hit Donetsk University building with cluster shells, causing widespread damage. Moscow's mayor also saying that Russian air defenses have destroyed a drone over the capital. Ukraine has reported it has shot down dozens of cruise missiles and drones, Kyiv saying that Russia hit a factory that makes plane and helicopter engines, as well as a blood transfusion center, leaving casualties. The latest developments on the ground come as peace talks in the Saudi city of Jeddah have concluded with no final declaration. Some 40 countries attended the summit, but a meeting excluded Russia. Isha Krishnaswamy is a podcaster and journalist. She joined us earlier from St. Petersburg and said that Ukraine will remain bogged down in the war as long as the U.S. and NATO back the conflict.
Unfortunately, we have to remember that Ukraine is not a completely sovereign country in that they don't direct their own foreign policy. The policies are directed in by NATO and U.S., and they will toe the line. So we have to wonder when the U.S. and NATO will realize that this is a futile war, and I don't see it happening. And Russia's strategy is a war of attrition, where they're trying to deplete the weapons caches of Ukraine and neighboring NATO countries like Poland. And so it is a war of attrition, and I don't see it ending anytime soon, barring some kind of major realization. And as we know, about a year ago, Turkey tried to make a peace deal with Russia and Ukraine, and it was sabotaged by then UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. So as long as U.S., U.K., and NATO are committed to this war, Ukraine is kind of have their hands tied, and they're not going to be able to get out of this, regardless of what the government thinks and what the public thinks.
Japan is remembering the victims of the U.S. atomic bombing of Hiroshima in the final days of the Second World War. Some 140,000 people were killed in what was the first ever use of nuclear weapons in the war. We've discussed that issue in our news review program.
Time now for the news review of this bulletin. Japan has marked the 78th anniversary of the U.S. atomic bombing of Hiroshima. Hundreds of white doves, considered symbols of peace, were released and wreaths were laid at the memorial site. In an address at the ceremony, the Hiroshima mayor urged the abolition of nuclear weapons, calling the notion of nuclear deterrence a folly. The U.S. dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima in 1945 during World War II. It killed 140,000 by the end of the year. The U.S. dropped a second bomb 3 days later on Nagasaki, which killed 70,000 more. Many survivors of the bombings have lasting injuries and illnesses resulting from the explosions and radiation exposure. The U.S. has never apologized for the bombings. To this day, it remains the only country to have used nuclear weapons. Barry Grossman is an international lawyer joining us from Bali, Indonesia. John Stepling, author and commentator, joins us from Inderøy, Norway. Welcome to you both. I'll start with you, Barry Grossman. You know, it's a cliche to say what lessons has the U.S. learned, but that question needs to be asked when this anniversary comes about, because we still know that the U.S. is in the possession of nuclear weapons. Do you think that the U.S. has done enough to eradicate nuclear weapons as a whole?
Let's be clear about one thing. The United States has the Second World War, a policy of limited war with the specific purpose of preparing to fight the Soviet Union and more recently the Russians and the Chinese. And that policy was firmly embraced until 1974, with special units developed, armed to deploy short-range nuclear shells on the battlefield before the policy was modified or abandoned in 74. But more recently, of course, it's been picked up again, with Congress now talking about funding pocket nukes and the like. More importantly, or equally importantly, the U.S. has essentially completely destroyed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, except when it's invoked in order to lord it over countries which the U.S. portrays as the enemy. So, no, they certainly have not done enough. And, in fact, you know, they haven't even come clean yet about what the true reasons behind the bombing of Japan were. It was a great tragedy. But I think to this day, there's not a great deal of sympathy in the world, bearing in mind the havoc that was wreaked by Japan on the world during World War II, fully supported by the Japanese population. So, there's a whole range of issues which sort of converge, but if we bring it back to the core question which you asked, has the U.S. done enough to acknowledge the horrors of what happened and to stop it from happening again, I'd say quite the opposite is true. And certainly there are many analysts who are now saying we've never been at greater risk of a full-on nuclear proliferation since at the very least the Cuban missile crisis than we are right now, with the U.S. running interference in order to get the Ukrainians to fight this proxy war against the great unbeatable giant in the form of Russia.
You don't have to own nuclear weapons, but provoking other nations that have the nuclear weapons is, I think, your opinion matters, just as bad. And I'm talking in reference to you, not only Russia in the case of Ukraine, but also North Korea. So why does the U.S. pursue that path?
Well, I think probably the short answer is because the United States is being led by sociopaths. But look, the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima and a couple of days later on Nagasaki, civilian cities, was unjustified from a military standpoint. It was a political act to frighten Stalin and the Soviet Union. The entirety of U.S. military leadership, even Curtis LeMay, were against it, said there was no reason for it, saw it as a reckless act that would have long-range repercussions. The bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki is something that is the United States is very overdue to apologize for. And yet, just the other day, Anthony Blinken, speaking of sociopaths, commented that climate change was really no different than nuclear war. This lack of this tone deafness, this lack of rational perspective and understanding of the tragedy that was Hiroshima is terrifying. We also have the sort of the musings of celebrities, the alcoholic movie stars like Sean Penn, who say, it's an overcautious discussion of nuclear weapons. What can that possibly mean? I don't understand people who utter these things who do not understand the magnitude of the crime that was Hiroshima, and 2 days later Nagasaki, which was only the Nagasaki was bombed just to test out and compare, you know, the different recipes for the bomb. There were a million ways to stop the war in its entirety. Japan was ready to surrender. There were ways to demonstrate the bomb where you didn't have to drop it on a civilian city, but on and on and on. The point is, this is the American leadership has learned nothing at all. The proxy war in Ukraine is evidence of that, and we just had a report about the munition cluster bombs being shipped off to Ukraine. The U.S. Protects allies like Israel that have a nuclear arsenal. They get excised over countries they don't approve of having a nuclear arsenal, like North Korea. They are constantly using Iran getting the nuke, who has no intentions of getting a nuclear weapon, but they use that as an excuse for more saber rattling and sanctions. The U.S. is the force for destabilization in the world. But the point here is, on the anniversary of Hiroshima, it is time that the U.S. does apologize, recognize the magnitude of that crime, the horror of dropping that bomb. It's just, you know, it leaves one speechless that this has never been addressed, but then the U.S. has never apologized for anything.
With that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review.
Let's move on with the rest of this newscast. An anti-Israeli operation in central Tel Aviv has left at least one person dead and several others injured. According to Israeli media, the assailant has been shot and killed by Israeli forces, who is said to be from the West Bank city of Jenin. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has hailed the operation. Tensions are high in the occupied West Bank, with Israeli forces performing deadly raids on Palestinian towns. Palestinians have also carried out retaliatory operations, which have led to the death of several Israelis in the past few months. Our correspondent Ramallah Mona Kendall joined us earlier and provided us some details regarding the anti-Israeli operation.
The Israeli military are saying that a Palestinian, 27-year-old, from Jenin in northern the occupied West Bank, is the man who carried out the anti-Israeli operation. We had a movement issued a statement praising this anti-Israeli operation, saying it emphasizes the unity of the Palestinian struggle and its natural response to the daily killing that the Israeli occupation continues to carry out against the Palestinian people. Hamas movement also praised this operation, saying it's a natural response and Palestinians have the right to resist the Israeli forces, with Israeli soldiers every day raiding Palestinian areas, using their guns to shoot and kill people without being punished. At the end of the day, Palestinians have the right to resist and defend themselves, defend their lands, and defend their families as well.
Welcome back. The North Korean leader has instructed factories making missile engines, artillery, and other weaponry to boost their capacity as an important part of bolstering his country's defense capabilities. Kim Jong-un issued the instruction while inspecting, from Thursday to Saturday, the production of military hardware. His unusual visits to several arms production facilities come as Pyongyang is pushing to develop strategic weapons and holds prominent displays of a range of arms. Tensions remain high in the Korean Peninsula amid a standoff between North Korea and the U.S. Pyongyang has warned Washington over holding military exercise in the region, and recently over its new weapons package for Taiwan. A passenger train is derailed in Pakistan's southern Sindh province, killing at least 30 people and injuring 80. 8 train cars went off the tracks near the town of Nawabshah, roughly 300 kilometers from the largest city of Karachi. At least 1,000 passengers were Aboard the train, wounded passengers have been moved to nearby hospitals. Rescue teams are trying to free people from the twisted wreckage. The railway minister has raised the possibility of a mechanical fault, but has not ruled out sabotage. Pakistan has seen a string of deadly train accidents over the past years. In June 2021, two trains collided in Sindh, killing at least 65 people and injuring some 150 others. Between 2013 and 2019, around 150 people died in such incidents. A short while ago, we were joined from Karachi by our correspondent, Mohammed Touré. He told us how the lack of funding in successive governments has left Pakistan's railway network antiquated and in poor condition.
All the operations, the up-track operations, are ceased. There are long queues on the railway stations like at Karachi and the other cities' railway stations, where the long queues of the people, of the passengers, have been witnessed because the tracks have been seized for the time because of this incident. And of course, this is not the first incident. We saw burnings before, we saw derailments before, and one of the main causes that the main investment which is required and been long overdue and for the structural changes, for the structural improvement, is lacking here. And not just in this government, but in the previous government as well, we witness multiple incidents of train derailments on this main track. And let me also tell you that this is the British time railway track, which hasn't been upgraded or changed much since. So these are the consequences that we are seeing right now.
Now, with that report, we come to the end of this broadcast.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
Amerik Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first to six. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, August 6, 2023. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners from every corner of the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Shatrudan Sharma from India, from Kari Virtanen from Finland, and from Gattano Terranova from Italy. So, Shatrudan, Kari, and Gattano, thank you very much for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio and this program. And let me see who has sent us email or message from around the world. Yes, Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us a piece of email. From Italy, we've received an email from Gattano Terranova. From Finland, Kari Virtanen has sent us a piece of email. Again from India, Dr. D. Sarkar, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. And the last but not the least is an email from the US from Bill McDavid. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you with these great emails. Welcome back. As I said, Najmuddin, one of our old and regular listeners from India, has sent us a piece of email. Najmuddin says, "Dear friends, Assalamu alaikum. The day of Ashura is the day of remembering victory of truth over falsehood, repentance and doing good deeds. Thank you for your informative programs for this occasion and the special discussion on Ashura. Kindly send me new program and frequency schedule, printed QSL card with IRIB souvenirs. Also, if possible, please send me a book on the life of Imam Khomeini. Thank you." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Najmuddin from India. And thank you very much for letting us know your views about our special features on the day of Ashura, which, you know, is the 10th of Muharram, when Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and his companions were martyred on this day. I want you to know that we always value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio, and especially listeners' special program. Thank you for letting us know your views about our programs. So please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email before we could be able to send you, you know, the frequency schedule and program guide and printed QSL. So thank you for this email, Najmuddin from India. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from Italy, Gattano Terranova has sent us a piece of email. Gattano says, "Dear staff, I heard your transmission in various days of this month. I understood words from the Holy Quran and some news. I heard you from central Italy, city of Lucca. I would be very proud to receive your QSL and a detailed list of frequencies and programs. Thank you very much and God bless you." Salam and warm greetings to you, Gattano Terranova from Italy, or as you say, ciao. We are so appreciative for this email, Gattano, sincerely. So you've had programs which contain holy verses of the Noble Quran, and you were able to understand the words. It's great. Gattano Terranova, congratulations. So keep up the good work and tell us your views about our programs, different programs of IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, Gattano Terranova from Italy. And of course, we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. And after a short break, I will be back with you. So let's see what our regular listener from India says. We have an email from Dr. D. Sarkar from India. He says, I am a radio listener from India. I listen to your radio broadcast. I'm sending herewith an audio file of your radio program. Kindly acknowledge this letter and verify my reception. I shall be obliged if you please send me a QSL card. Also, if possible, please send me your program schedule, pennants, and stickers. First of all, salam and greetings to you. And thank you very much for this email, Dr. D. K. Sarkar from India. We received the audio file of our programs you listen to. Appreciations to you for that. We wish you all the best. And we are looking forward to hearing from you. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as confirmation to this letter. And Bill McDavid from the US has sent us an email. He says, Dear producer, I heard your broadcast and especially enjoyed the listener's special program. You are heard very well here in Florida, USA. I would very much appreciate a QSL card from your station if possible. Also, can you please email me the English service schedule for IRIP? Thank you. Salam from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Bill McDavid from the US. An appreciations to you for this email and also for your comments about our broadcast. It's really good to know that you enjoyed the listeners' special program, and it makes us happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are very well heard in Florida, the US. Thank you for everything. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. And Bill McDavid from the US, in order to find the frequency schedule and the program's schedule and the guide, you can refer to our website at parstoday.ir/en, and there you can find the materials. And also please accept our EQSL as confirmation to this email. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back from Finland. Kari Virtanen has sent us a piece of email. Kari says, Peace and God's blessings be upon you. Here is the fourth reception report and recording from northern Finland. As explained in previous emails, it took me nearly a day to reach the listening base and then a whole week of intense listening to make sure I captured as many news stations as possible. I was really happy to be able to capture so many of IRIB regional stations here. I'm afraid this time there are many reports for you, and I really appreciate if you can take the time to verify these. Your kind verification, QSL or EQSL, would be highly appreciated for these stations and frequencies. As there are so many of them, I would be perfectly happy if you do it with a reply by email. Once again, thank you for taking the time and hope you and your family are well. Salam to you, Kari Virtanen from Finland, and warm greetings to you and your fellow country men and women. I do thank you for writing such a detailed email to IRIB English Radio and to your favorite program, Listeners Special. We are glad to know that the signals of IRIB English Radio are well received in Finland, in northern Finland, where you live. That's great. So please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Kari Virtanen from Finland. Oh, we had a great time being together. But anyway, we have to say goodbye. But before we wrap up the program, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails from around the world, from every corner of the world, including Shatrudan Sharma from India, Kari Virtanen from Finland, Gatano Terranova from Italy, Najmuddin from India, Dr. D.K. Sarkar from India, and Bill McDavid from the U.S. Please keep in touch with us, with IRIB English Radio and with listeners, a special program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Brothers and sisters, the topic that we've been exploring over the last number of evenings has been to look at the Jahiliyyah, the era of ignorance before Islam, to see how it re-emerged at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and how that culture and that type of thinking that's part of the era of ignorance was part of what kept people from supporting Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and in some ways led them to martyr Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then finally, we've been looking and seeing how this applies to the modern era where we live in. So if you've been following this series by now, some of the questions that you would have had an opportunity to be reflecting upon are things like this, that when I know that music and words were part of an entertainment industry that was being promoted by the Umayyads to distract the people from their core purpose in life, then I need to be asking myself that when it comes to me and my family, what type of approach am I going to have towards this industry and entertainment and words and music? And how can I make sure that it's not something that takes me away from my purpose? When we've been talking about those who took a stance of not taking a stance and just live comfortably in their own portion of this world and being kind of immune and apathetic to what was going on around them, and when in critical situations, their silence spoke volumes for other people. They were people who influenced others to hold back and not show support to their imam. Then we need to be asking ourselves that maybe the understanding I have of what it means to be a decent person, I can examine that and see whether really being decent is being closed and not being aware of what's going on in the world around me. And for example, yesterday we had a chance to look at the myth of the autonomous, modest person. That when I look and see the people at that time led by Yazid and those who were following in suit, they were people who were pursuing their passions and their pleasures and their lusts. And this was something that held them back from being able to critically reflect on what was going on at the time. And so I need to ask myself that this culture of immodesty that's being shoved at me, how can I respond to that? How can I make sure that I don't get trapped in this sort of delusion where I think I'm being modest, but actually what I'm doing is I'm enslaving myself by not submitting to a higher source of authority, which tells me what is modest and what is immodest. But for today, I want to look at a different dimension of this, and it has to do with the principle of balance when it comes to this dunya and living an earthly life. You all know that we as human beings have a bodily dimension, but we also have a spiritual dimension. And the purpose of our creation lies with that spiritual dimension. This is told to us in many different ways. One of the most eloquent and powerful is from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. He tells his son in the will and testament, وَلَسْنَا لِلدُّنْيَا خُلِقْنَا. We were not created for this world. وَلَا بِالسَّعْيِ فِيهَا أُمِرْنَا. We were not commanded to kill ourselves for this world. I'm putting it in my phrasing here. But basically, we're not supposed to kill ourselves for the dunya. وَعَلَمْ يَا بُنَيَّ. Oh, my dear son, you should know that إِنَّكَ إِنَّمَا خُلِقْتَ لِلْآخِرَةِ. You should know that you have been created for the hereafter, not for this world. وَلَا لِلدُّنْيَا. وَلِلْفَنَاءِ وَلَا لِلْبَقَاءِ. Meaning that you have been created not for sticking around here forever, but rather your time in this world is temporary. This is something that is known to us. I want to give an analogy here because it's going to be important for us when we look deeper at this concept of living a balanced life in this world, in the modern world. And the analogy is one of taking a circular peg, you know, a peg. Imagine there's a circular peg and you're trying to put it into a square hole. I think you've heard of this before. Circular pegs do not go into square holes. There's nothing wrong with the peg, there's nothing wrong with the hole, but the two don't meet each other. If you try to, you know, it's a kind of an analogy, right? You keep on doing it, it's just not going in. If you have a circular peg, you need a circle to put it in, not a square. When we're told that we've been created for something else, then the question arises, then how is it that we're here in this world? We're actually created in a way that we're strangers to this world. And one of the important struggles that we go through, one of the major struggles that we go through is figuring out a way of living in this world even though we weren't created for it. And this is a struggle that has happened throughout history, and it's been the cause of downfall of so many people of the past when they haven't figured out how to live the right way in this world. If we go to the time of our beloved Imam Hussein alayhi salam and those incidents that were taking place around him, and we try to see, just like we've been doing over the last few nights, what were the causes that made people stay away from Imam Hussein, abandon him, definitely one of those causes was people who had not found a balanced way to live in this world. One of the examples that we have, clear example, is that of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Sa'd was the father of the infamous Umar ibn Sa'd, la'anatullahi alayh, the killer of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. His father, Sa'd, was actually somebody who was one of the earliest Muslims. They say number 7 in all of history of Islam was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. He was a teenager at the time that he accepted Islam. And from the beginning, he was a warrior. He was a great supporter of Islam and our Prophet. He was present at all the battles. His presence was known, and he became somebody of great reputation among the Muslims. Even after towards the end of the life of the Prophet, we see that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was present at Ghadir, and he was one of those people who narrated the hadith of Ghadir. He was one of those who narrated this tradition. Man kuntu mawlahu fa'aliyun mawla. Whoever I am the master of, Ali is his master. The books of narrations mention him as one of the narrators of this tradition. After the death of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, when people... when people for the most part are either asleep or they're confused, some who are hungry for power have gathered in Saqifa, we see that there's a small group of the faithful, people like Miqdad and Salman, Abu Dharr, who have rushed to the home of Fatima alayhi salam. And amongst them is Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. That's how much of a supporter he is of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. But then we see that a change takes place in Sa'd's approach. Slowly, slowly, he begins to back away from his support of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And that's synonymous with him becoming more and more entangled in the dunya. He soon accepts the khilafa, the leadership of the khulafa, and he becomes supporters of them. And he starts to gain in his wealth to the point that they say that he was possessing multiple homes. Some of them were very large. And he also built a palace for himself. And the palace actually was named Qasru Sa'adin, meaning that it's the palace of Sa'd. Imagine that you have a place that's so big that it has a name. People call it something. And they say that he built it out of marble, and it was fashioned after the Roman architecture and all those type of things. Sa'd was somebody who was really living the life as well. He was, as he got more wealth, he said that, you know, I'm interested in exploring new ways of, you know, living life. And so they say that the pre-Islamic era, the type of clothing that the rich used to wear at that time, he started bringing it back into his wardrobe. He would wear silk. He would put on like a gold ring, and he wouldn't care what people said about it. That's just what he decided to do.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen Ghafur Shakurun Wadud Qayyim Muhammad ya mu'mini sallu alayhi.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. today's lesson, The Value of the Contemplation of the Holy Quran in Our Islamic Lifestyle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it is such an honor to be here at your service. In today's episode, we are talking about the importance of the contemplation upon the Holy Quran in our Islamic lifestyle. So, dear friends, of course, as we know, the Holy Quran is this divine book which was revealed by the Almighty Allah. This in itself is something which should really increase the value and the importance of this beautiful book, this holy book, this divine book, the Holy Quran. And of course, we see that in the day and age that we live, where certain barbaric individuals under certain barbaric governments are allowed to burn the Holy Quran. This is one of the greatest tragedies of the modern era. And truly, this burning of the Holy Quran is the burning of the word of the Almighty Allah. And how can it be acceptable in any society to burn the religious values and to burn the religious sanctities of another religion? And so this burning of the Holy Quran is a truly savage and barbaric act by uncivilized individuals who live in uncivilized societies. And as Muslims who have pride in our divine book, we must stand up and voice our opposition to this blatant, barbaric act committed by savages. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we were talking about the importance of a contemplation upon the Holy Quran. We had gotten a little bit sidetracked, but it was an important thing to note, which is that we must stand up in defense of the Holy Quran. This is the defense of Islam. This is the defense of a divine book which has been revealed by the Almighty Allah. Now, when we're talking about the contemplation upon the Holy Quran, yes, we find that the first step to being close with the Holy Quran is to recite the Arabic. Of course, even before we start to recite the Arabic, what is important is for us to understand the value of the Holy Quran, the importance of the Holy Quran, and really this great auspicious status of the Holy Quran. And not only should we know this, but we should let our friends and the people who we love and the people around us know this value and the status of the Holy Quran. Now, contemplating upon the Holy Quran is of great importance. So once we realize the value of the Quran, and then we start to recite the Holy Quran, then of course the next step is contemplation. Now, we probably won't be able to fully talk about this idea of contemplating over the Holy Quran, but we will elaborate more in other programs, inshallah. But at least take some time to contemplate over the words of the Holy Quran so that the meaning of the Holy Quran can really permeate through our being and our essence, and inshallah, it will be an integral part of our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Zainab, peace be upon her, played unparalleled role on the way to Karbala with Imam Hussein on the day of Ashura with all those hardships and after Imam Hussein had been martyred. It is impossible to find a similar figure in history. Later on, numerous events took place during her captivity in Kufa and in Sham. Because of these great selfless efforts, Zainab al-Kubra gained a prominent position before Allah the Exalted, and this is something that we cannot describe. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Exalted mentions the names of two women as perfect examples of faith. God also mentions the names of two women as examples of infidelity. Allah sets forth for an example to the unbelievers, the wife of Noah and the wife of Lut. They were respectively under two of our righteous servants. The Holy Quran, chapter 66, verse 10. These two women exemplify infidelity. That is to say, Allah the Exalted mentions women, not men, as examples of both infidelity and faith. And Allah sets forth as an example to those who believe the wife of Pharaoh, the Holy Quran, chapter 66, verse number 11.
Ana mazlum Hussein, ana mazlum Hussein, ana mazlum Hussein, ana mazlum Hussein,
ana latshan.
Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, made the army of reason overcome the army of ignorance.
He mentions the wife of Pharaoh and Mary as two perfect examples of faith. And Mary, the daughter of Imran, the Holy Quran, chapter 66, verse number 12. A brief comparison between Zainab al-Kubra and the wife of Pharaoh would show the greatness of Zainab al-Kubra's position. In the Holy Quran, the wife of Pharaoh has been recognized as the example of faith for both men and women until the end of time. But just compare the wife of Pharaoh, who had faith in Moses' prophethood and had been enchanted by his guidance, with Zainab al-Kubra. When she was tortured by Pharaoh, according to narrations and historical texts, she passed away due to the torture she suffered. She was frustrated by the physical pain. She said, "O my Lord, build for me, in nearness to you, a mansion in the garden, and save me from Pharaoh and his doings." The Holy Quran, chapter 66, verse number 11. In fact, she was praying for her death, "and save me from Pharaoh and his doings." This was while her problem was only the physical torture. Unlike Zainab al-Kubra, she had not suffered the loss of several brothers, two children, and many of her relatives and nephews. She had not watched her dear ones go to the battlefield where they were supposed to be killed.
Range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.